Great to be together again, encouraged by everyone's presence. It's good to see you, and I encourage you to have your Bibles out. This morning's lesson is taken from Philippians chapter 3. So taking a moment on this Sunday to look at our Paul's lesson to the church at Philippi. As we've walked through the book here in lessons, this particular lesson is where we're going to look at today. And not by design, but this is really kind of the third part series of loving God with all our heart. I didn't realize that when I chose to preach the lessons, nor the order. It's just worked out that way. And so as we talk about loving God with all our heart, and we talk about balanced living, now in Paul's pursuits. And to me, in my mind, I think this all really fits together pretty nicely. There's several perspectives that we look at and several analogies that are made and the important things really for our lives, because it's about how we live here upon this earth and how we how God lives in us and what perspective we have of that, and that affects all our lives. So appreciate everyone being here. Encourage you to have your Bibles open to that. Appreciate the good songs this morning. Mark chose a couple of songs that really associated with this, And I think I'm going to tie those in as we probably close out the lesson, just to tie in the points that the songs make, because it fits perfectly with what we've talked about the last few weeks. So as we read, beginning of services, and verse 7 through 14 of Philippians 3, Paul says there, as he writes to them, "The things that were gained to me I count as lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them but dung," and by the way, that's actually, I count them as dog food is what that actually is. "I count them as scraps that go to the dogs, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which was of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering," or sharing of his sufferings, "being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfected, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Verse 14, okay. "So, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I tell you this here, Paul's pursuits, and what we see in this, and it may not be as obvious as, let me finish my introduction here. Last week, the chart I put up here about balanced living. As we love God with all our heart, the idea, and I changed my chart a little bit, how God really influences all of our lives. So without God, we look like this in our life. We have things we do. We work, and we sleep, and we eat, and we have our church, and things we do associated with the church here. We have our family, maybe even exercise in the miscellaneous category. And the reality is, when we put God into our picture, when we become servants of God, all these things start changing to be what God wants them to be. So we are as the color fades in different shades, as God comes out and oozes out or is shown as we live our lives. So I like that chart and how our life is many aspects. God calls for us to work. This is our purpose. We looked in studying about Sunday morning Bible class this morning, really last Sunday, how Adam was given chores and work to do. We talked about Jesus, how he even rested. And the whole, under the law of Moses, they spent one day a week in rest and away from work. Those are principles God established. Those are facts. And so I think it's appropriate to look at these things as God is shown in all these. And yes, we have a part that we devote this morning. We're here in Bible study, that we may personal study at home, or whatever the case may be, in religious acts. I put church, maybe just call that religious acts. But we see God through all of them. And so as we look at this lesson, It's intriguing to me because there's a few times in Scripture Paul uses athletic competition. And that's what this, that's what chapter 3 is about, or this section of chapter 3 is about athletic competition. In the Greek cultures, in Asia, in Italy, they have athletic games. And so just like Jesus did with parables of farming, Jesus did parables associated with family relationships and things of that nature, common knowledge things. Marriages is another analogy Jesus uses in parabolic form. Paul uses athletic competition, and he uses it a few times in Scripture. This is one of them, and notice the terms that he uses here. It may not be as obvious, but first of all, the pursuit. I follow after in verse 12. That is pursuing, running after, chasing after, trying to grasp the idea behind that. And then in I press in verse 14. As we read there, the King James uses the word, I press toward the mark. Those are all of athletic competition and about sports, basically. And we had some big football games yesterday. If you're a football fan, a college football fan, you were engaged in that. We see it in our culture today, very similarly. So there are some lessons, and Paul is using these verses and a few more around it here. We're going to use it for a lesson. To take the analogy of athletic competition in the Christian race, the Christian life. You Philippians, this is what I've done, and you do likewise. Some more terms. Reaching forward, not behind. That's not necessarily athletic, but in our context, that's what he's talking about. The mark he uses here, the word mark, is the finish line, the goal, the object that they're trying to achieve. The prize or crown, they often use crown, and I don't know about you, when I hear the word crown, I think of a tiara or whatever a king puts on his head, right? And queen, they put a crown on their head. That's not what the actual term is. The term is a trophy. His blue ribbon, his prize that he gets. That term is used in this same text here we read. The idea of winning and losing. And he gave up things and he won things. Attaining or achieving, reaching forward. Seizing and taking eagerly, the eagerness associated with that. These are all terms in this section of Scripture we read either directly in verse 7 through 14 or within the context of a few verses either side of that. So this is about athletic, this is about pursuing. And so Paul teaches the Philippians here a lesson, a parabolic of nature, or terms that are related to competition, and relates it to his Christian life, his own Christian life. And of course, who doesn't have athletics or matured in life and don't have the glory days? Rick Springfield had a song all about the glory days. Things used to be great, right? We used to have so much energy and so much strength and could do so many things and blissfully naive at times, right? But Paul had glory days, and we didn't specifically read that, and don't intend to spend a lot of time on it, but when it comes to athletics, there's glory days. Days we were better and stronger. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin. Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee. He zealous as far as pursuing. There's that word again. It says persecuting. That's persecuting, pursuing. That's actually the same word in English. I just learned that today. Pursuing and persecuting is the same word. Pursuing Christians, pursuing the church, or persecuting the church. Blameless, according to the law of Moses. He counted all these things for loss. He gave all these things up. His glory days. But he gave them up for what? His competition, his race, his crown, his prize he was reaching for. The race in verse 9 through 14 of faith in Christ. The contents, the activities in his race, he's not running. He is not fighting with his fist or other objects or dueling with pistols or whatever the case may be. The contents of his race, the activity of his race involves faith in Christ, the righteousness of God. And these are all in verse 9 through 14, where he labels these out. And then knowing Jesus, knowing the power of his resurrection, the fellowship or sharing, participation in Jesus' suffering. And we saw in other times in his resume, he's talked about his suffering and what he's done to suffer, what he's endured. He shared in the suffering of Christ. These are all things Paul did. These are the contents of his race. These are the things he's doing in this life, rat race of life, as we might call it today, the race of life, the Christian race, as it were. He followed after and pursued that he may apprehend. The idea of charging forward and trying to gain. And he was a changed person. No athlete shows up unless like at a college campus or you know your seventh grade basketball tryouts. Nobody comes a complete athlete, do they? And neither did Paul. He's a changed person. He's improved. So we see all these concepts that Paul brings out here. He forgot. He left the glory days are behind me. And his days wasn't so glorious. At one point, they would glorious to him. They were glorious in the Jewish religion, but they are no longer glorious. He put those behind him. He gave them up. He moved on. And he reached out, stretched out across, as it were, to the finish line to the things which were before. As a runner would stretch out to try and stay ahead or to cross the finish line in the first place or in place, to stretch out across, reaching forth unto the things which are before him. So his life in Judaism he left behind. His fame in Judaism he left behind. The many accomplishments and friends that followed him and even supported him and mentored him, he left all those people behind. He's looking ahead now. He's looking ahead to the goal. He's looking ahead to the prize, the mark for the pride. The mark is the finish line. The prize is the trophy. He's looking toward the finish line for that trophy. What's the trophy of the high calling of Jesus? The idea, the goal, the trophy is eternal life that Paul was reaching for. That prize, that trophy, that reward that we are offered by Jesus, pressing toward the mark, pursuing the finish line for the prize. Paul's pursuits in this race. And so we see here sports and Christianity. So I made this up. Jesus is our head coach. Everybody's got to have a head coach, right? They have somebody that is actually in charge. And Jesus is him. Jesus established what's right. He established the church. He established what we do. He established what we should look like. He sets all the rules. He tells us how to become better and learn and to grow to be that, quote, athlete that he wants us to be. The idea of conversion. None of us come into the kingdom fully develop. There's a growth process. We are new people. We put behind and go into the training, if you will use, let me use those terms. We are in training right now and learning and growing in this athletic competition that Paul is, as Paul uses the analogy there. We're here to optimize performance. So the idea between, you know, the no athlete, certainly, you know, yesterday in football, the running back didn't throw on a 20-pound weight vest while he played football, did he? He put on his shoulder pads so he wouldn't get hurt. So he had a useful burden, to make that analogy. The running backs had a useful burden, but they didn't kind of carry unnecessary burdens. And we think about in this category, we have necessary things. God calls us to work. God approved us to rest and sleep and eat. There's all kinds of things that we are here to do. And they may be burdens, or they may be benefit us even. They may not be a burden. It may be a benefit for us. And so there are some, though, that are unnecessary. We have to decide that, right? I can't choose for you what's a good burden or a bad burden for you. But certainly, we get rid of the burden of sin. We can't carry that burden. You know, there may be things in life that hinder us in our service to God, and we can change that. We have necessary and useful burdens. We need those, so we don't really want to change those. We want to take care of those burdens. But certainly sin, we got to leave that behind. So the idea in athletic competition about optimizing our performance, we don't just load ourselves up with weight that we don't need. And it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge. That pie chart, there's a lot of stuff on that pie chart, even though I try to simplify it, there's a lot of stuff there. So the idea, let me read that because that's not a passage we've actually read here, but in Hebrews 12:1, again, this is a reference to athletic competition in Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1, seeing we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, that's Hebrews 11 and all the people mentioned there, let us lay aside every weight or burden and the sin, got that on this too, that is set before us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's set aside these weights that are unnecessary, We got burdens to carry, but the unnecessary ones, we figure out which ones they are and get rid of them. Sin, dump it. We can't have that. We can't carry that burden. We got to get rid of that. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. So again, optimizing our performance. That idea is set up there in Hebrews 12:1. So, a certain analogy there for us to keep in mind when we think about the kingdom, when we think about pursuing. Paul makes this analogy with athletic competition, and quite frankly, that may very well be Paul. They don't know exactly who wrote Hebrews. The suspicion is it is Paul. It would not be inconsistent in that case, certainly. We have the idea of teamwork. Is there I in team? We always hear that, right? I in team. We have those in the sports world. We have, especially in the younger leagues, even in college, we have, well, even in professional sports, we have some people that the whole team has to center and focus around. Well, we're on a team. The idea of teamwork, I believe, comes out a little bit for us in chapter 1 of Philippians. Notice the idea of the work together Paul calls for in Philippians 1. Let your conversation, or let your life, or let your citizenship be as one becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, live like the gospel of Christ. Live like you're supposed to live. Be the Christian. Be put on those attributes. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. There's that teamwork. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're together. We're to help each other. We're working together on this. We're not all the same player. You look at a football game that was yesterday, we have linemen. They have a purpose. Offensive linemen, they help protect the quarterback and make holes for the running back or whoever's running the football. The wide receivers, all they're supposed to do is just run. You run and get open, right? The wide receiver, just run. Everybody's got a different purpose. Everybody has different strengths. Those linemen are not going to be running, are not going to be wide receivers. And so it's the same in the congregation, in the church of our Lord. We work together. We're not all the same. And Paul makes that point in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We won't turn to that. But there's teamwork. Teamwork. So Paul uses this analogy. I'm not going to turn to 1 Corinthians 9 because that could be a whole lesson by itself. But just making the points from this, Paul, again, using an analogy of running a race. He talks about the effort in that case as if there was one person, the only one winner, that were temperate in all things, an incorruptible trophy, a similar comment made here. He runs a race. He fights as a gladiator. There's two terms that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians. Actually adds the word fight in that case. Talking about just the common competitions that happened in those cultures. And he tempers himself. He's temperate in all things. Paul says he's tempered his body and he tempered his mind. So we see in sports how those who are in competition will try to control the things. They control their burdens, as Hebrews 12:1 talked about. Control and do the things they need to perform. And then there's the finish line. Our citizenship, the King James uses conversation. The idea is that we're citizens of a kingdom. We are a certain nature about us. We're to look like citizens. Every nation has unique cultural things and even physical identity, and that's the idea of the citizenship. We are a citizen of God's kingdom. We're to look like that, right? But our citizenship, our kingdom, is of heaven. The idea we're pilgrims here. Because we are. We have a limited life here. We are mortal. We hurt. Our bodies are decaying and becoming injured and breaking down. And one day we will leave this body. And so we are pilgrims here. So we to know that our citizenship, is the finish line for us, is not of this world. It's heaven. That's our ultimate. That heaven is our trophy, actually. And so the prize we have, the Christian's trophy, is that our vile body is changed. We have heaven waiting for us. We'll have a new body. This is our trophy, as it were. This is our trophy. And again, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul ties in the incorruptible part of our trophy, the eternal life. What do we learn from this? Well, there's a neat analogy. It's something we can always remember, tying it to and thinking about sports next time you watch a football game or a basketball game. You think about our Christian life or our life upon this earth. Giving up the glory days. We can't live in them, can we? They're gone. They're behind us. If we could, if we dwell on those accomplishments, we'll never proceed and move forward. Neither did Paul dwell on his failures. Both of those things are left behind. We can relate to that, right? We have failures, we leave them behind. We can't look at our, neither can we look at our past accomplishments and rely on those. In Paul's case, his prestige and honor among the Jewish nation and religion. So Paul won Jesus. He gave up the glory days, but won Jesus. He pushed forward beyond his past, reaching to attain. That, and not that he had yet apprehended. He was still looking forward. And it reminds me especially we'll keep the football now. It's just football season. You ever see a receiver who's wide open in the field, he's fixing to catch the football, and he looks to see who's around him? You ever seen that happen? What happens? He drops the ball. You can't take your eye off the target. You can't look back. You hear that about runners. They'll look back and see who's behind them. We're not worried about who's behind us. We're focused forward. We look behind, and we will fall. We will fall. Now, that's, the analogy doesn't apply as far as we realize we learn things from the past. That's what it's there for. But we don't dwell on it. We don't let it hinder us. We don't let it affect us. We're moving forward. We're looking ahead. We're looking. He looked beyond his past. He couldn't carry that burden. He persecuted the church. That's a burden he could no longer carry. And you know it probably aided him. But all it would do is tear him down and pull him down. He had Christ. He was saved. His sins, those things were forgiven. Jesus took care of that burden for him. And the same for us. We're looking forward. Keep focused forward. Focus on that, on our goal. Focus on our goal. Optimizing performance, as using the athletic analogy, there are useful and necessary burdens. There's a purpose, the ones that have purpose in our life. You know, there may be something you say, you know what, this doesn't help me, and all it does is hinder me, and you may decide to just take that out of your life. But there's other things that you know you think, or you think you need, that are helpful and beneficial to you. And that may change in another decade or two. The reality is there are things that help us. We've studied in James how the trials of life produce endurance. So there are things that are useful, though they're a burden, though they're difficult, they are useful. The idea of temperance, controlling our mind and our body, having that self-control, mind being meekness and our body being self-control, basically it's our ability to control ourselves both mentally and physically. And realizing or understanding and learning what our unnecessary burdens are. Our citizenship. We are citizens of a kingdom. It's not of this world. It's not earthly. It's not fleshly. It's not physical. It's of heaven. It's spiritual. And then to the point of last week's lesson, balancing all that. Do we pursue? Yes. Remember, Paul taught, you work unto your master in that scenario. You work like you're working unto God. You pursue that work like he was working for God. Rest, yes. Take a break. That's God ordained. Balance the life is, I guess that's our search, right? To have that balanced life, to have what we need in all categories in that pie chart. And then we're going to come back and look at that here in just a moment. Now, then we have teamwork. We're not alone. God did not intend for man to be alone. We talked about that in Genesis 2. And God did not intend on man to be alone. Neither does he intend on Christians to be alone. We have the congregation, our fellowship and association together, our working together. The teamwork, each one of us plays a part. Everyone plays a part. Everyone has an important part. Pursue what you can in the kingdom's sake, not just for us together or in other scenarios. Our prize, the Christian's trophy, that he will change our vile body, our decaying body, like unto Jesus. We have a home waiting for us. And then the balancing the useful and necessary burdens with the ones that are not necessary, the ones that hinder us and bring us down. Being able to figure those out. Which ones are ones that are useful? Which ones are unnecessary and burdens I can't handle or I don't need to handle, and or maybe I need to handle them later, whatever the case may be. Some brother in Christ passed away this past week. One of the quotes he was well known for was, "If you've missed heaven, you've missed it all." And that's right, isn't it? If we miss heaven, we've missed it all. We keep in our mind and our goals focused in Paul's pursuits. And that in all things, we serve God. That God is shown in our life as we live it in all aspects. No matter where we're at. Whether we're working or whether we're dealing with family and the church, of course, and whether, you know, the time we spend a lot of time eating. I eat, usually two meals a day, sometimes three, whatever time. We spend a lot of time doing things, but God shows in all these, and yeah, we have some time devoted to religious service, but it's not just this, it affects all of our life. So pursue these things as unto God, as God would have us pursue them, and figure out the things that are not necessary. That's a challenge. That's a real challenge. Figure out what is a burden, but what is useful. I just happened to choose in our bulletin, to choose a passage that's very, very, kind of, I guess it sums up what we've talked about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13. When I picked this at the end of August, I did not have this lesson series in mind, but it fits. It fits with the lessons as we've talked about them. Ecclesiastes 12, as probably Solomon, ends his book there. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is the sum of it all? Life is vanity. What's the sum of it all? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. You know, and as we sung some songs today, these are songs that associate with our lesson. Let Him have His way with... I'm sorry. Yes, that's one of them, 199. When we sung, Let Him have His way with thee. Let Jesus mold our lives in these categories here, wherever it is and whatever it is. So be like Jesus. The old slogan, what would Jesus do? Act like, you know, behave and show Jesus in our lives. Living for Jesus in Psalm 102, the song we sung there. A life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this pathway of blessing for me. And so that's what the song is about in the other verses there. They tie in so nicely to the idea of serving God with all our heart, mind, all our mind, soul, heart, mind, soul, strength. I'll get it. Having that balanced life, figuring out how to balance these things in our life, and as with athletic competition, pursuing the right things, the right time, with the right effort. And I don't know about you, there's only so many rocks I can juggle in this life, right? I can't juggle. I've tried to. You get a couple apples. You ever tried that with tennis balls? I can do two. I can throw one up and I can catch one. I can do two. That's not juggling. That's almost about what I could say in my life. How many things can you deal with realistically as a priority in your life? There's only so many things that I can say, okay, I've got to get this done today and this and this and this. And the further down that list it goes, the less likely it is to happen. And then I got to commit, how much energy am I going to put to get, so I got to start with the first things first. We do that every morning. We start first things first, and then we work down our list of things that have to be done. And that's what God calls for us to do. Prioritize and pursue. But remember, as Solomon said, we have work. We have to do that. We do it as in the Lord. We have it's good for us to work. It's important. It helps us. But remember, all that I do is for naught. So does it mean in your homes? How many people make up their bed every morning? I always thought that a little bit vanity, but worthless. Because what happens the next that evening? You unmake your bed because you're going to sleep. And the next morning, you make your bed. So does it mean you don't? Well, for me, okay, I wouldn't do it. But so you may do that every day. Why? Because it's vanity, because you repeat it over and over again. There's some vanity in that and uselessness in that aspect. But it serves a purpose for a time, as does our life under the sun. It serves a purpose for a time, but it is not for all time. It is prepared us for all time, but it's not for all time. And that's where the balanced living and trying to balance things out. What can I do that's productive for today, for tomorrow? But most importantly, what's productive for eternity? We're preparing for that home in heaven. We're preparing for eternity. Are you prepared? Jesus offers forgiveness of sins just by believing in Him. By believing in Him, you believe what He said. And what He said was, go be baptized. Go out and be baptized. I will forgive your sins. They will not be accounted to you. A very simple process. Nothing to it. Jesus promised that. So we encourage you, if you've not been baptized, to do that this morning. If you have and wish to have the prayers of saints for something that we could help you with, we always willing to do that and can help you in any way. Pursuing. athletics and the Christian. It's kind of an odd combination in our world, but there's analogies Paul made there. Let's all pursue the things we should pursue, which while we live on this earth, we have the things here we need to do. But remember that our ultimate pursuit and forever pursuit is for heaven, and that is our trophy, that body that will not decay, the eternal life he promises us that we can live with him. If you want to be with us and there's something we can help you with in any way, we encourage you to come and make that known while we stand and while we sing.